Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Good to see y'all this evening. Hope everyone's had a wonderful day. Getting ready to just to see what the Lord's got in store for us tonight. Come with anticipation. Praise the Lord. Let's all just stand, if you will. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open our service. Want to welcome everybody that's watching online. First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Whether you're watching it live now or at a later date. We just love to worship the Lord and looking forward to hearing His Word this evening. Does anyone have any prayer requests tonight? Just show by the raising. You know, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Dear Lord, as we come together this evening, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, ready to worship You, dear Lord, but most of all, ready to receive the Word that You have for us. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity, and we just give You all of the honor and all the glory that we possibly can. The Lord, now we're going to bring the prayer request to You this evening, Lord, and we know that You already know what each and every one is. Lord, You see the hands that are raised, the names have been spoken, the Lord, the depths of our hearts. But, dear Lord, we're releasing it to You right now. Dear Lord, we're asking You to heal, to mend, to protect, to help us recover, dear Lord, and to strengthen us through this daily time that we go through. But most of all, dear Lord, we ask for Your salvational walk to be with us and our families, dear Lord. Strengthen us, dear Lord. For our community, those that we work with, dear Lord, our city, state, and our country. Lord, we just love You. Lord, we thank You again, dear Lord, for just letting us be here, dear Lord. We just praise You. We give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Good to see our visitors this evening and just welcome, welcome, welcome. While you're standing, turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? Praise the Lord.
Are you washed
in the
blood,
in the blood,
in the soul-cleansing blood of a lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. Turn around and give somebody a wave or a high five and let them know how much the Lord loves them. How much we love you and glad you're with us tonight. Praise God. I guess as we look around, we can see there are a fair amount of folks not with us this evening, those that are normally here. We always want to keep in mind those that are homesick. And I know we just had prayer for them, but if anyone's watching online, I want you to know how much we miss you. I know you're going through recoveries and after processing procedures or maybe even traveling. I just want you to know how much you're missed when you're not here. And each and every one of you, too, when you're not here, that an empty spot, it just resonates in my heart. And I know we all deserve vacations and chance to get away, but we always need to worship the Lord and be with Him. We'll praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. I do have one announcement as they come forward. And I just want to say welcome October to a lot of folks. And I saw a post the other day, I think it was last night, it said that they're just glad for October. It's like that change of season, that coolness in the air. I personally love this time of year. But also, it's that time as we get ready to surprise y'all. And it shouldn't be a surprise as fast as time flies, especially when you get to be my age. It's that time of year that we start announcing for the Samaritan's Purse, the Operation Christmas Child. Wonderful ministry that's gone forth from this congregation, from those others around us that's donated to it. And it's an experience that I've been honored to be a part of. And it is that time, and I know last year, and the goal this year is going to be 100 boxes plus. And that's where we were last year, and it went so well. But if y'all could see where we go take them, and you see the churches and the different groups, it's pouring in with them. It's a wonderful ministry. So if anybody has any questions, it's time to start preparation and prayer, please, for the Samaritan's Purse, the Operation Christmas Child. See Miss Elaine. She's got sheets of the things that are allowed for us to package and get ready to ship. She also is going to give us the deadlines coming up real soon because it won't be long and it'll be time to turn like it goes very fast. And also, if anyone would like to help with the shipping fees, as we've done before, the shipping fees this year are $10 per box. You can also note that on your offering envelope, too, and just make it in the comments. And Miss Lori does a wonderful job keeping it separated. Praise God. Any other announcements? We've got Brother Luke, would you ask the Lord to bless our Amen. Singers. I'll go ahead and call y'all one up if you would. Sister Susan, if you'll come first, Brother Jim, Miss Karen, and then we got a special show that's traveled in. They're tonight. The girls is what they're calling themselves right now. Y'all want to come on up, and that way when it's thank you.
us suppose God searched through heaven. He couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad He was willing to drink His bitter cup. Although He prayed, "Father, let it pass from me," I'm so glad He never called heaven's angels. From my hands, pull these nails that torment me.
Is past and gone. tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand.
Get her while she's already up here. Small as I am.
He picks me up Good job, girls. Give them another hand. I know it's sometimes tough to get up in front of a congregation and sing, but I'm going to try it. I thought number one would surely be me. Thought I could be one I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. If you know it, sing it with me. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. How many feel that way tonight? Hallelujah. So good to know that we don't have to walk alone, that we've got Jesus, amen, to be with us 24/7. My. God is so good, so gracious to us. It's good to see you tonight. It's already been said, we're missing so many people. Sickness has invaded the ranks of First Pentecostal, and amen, we're just continuing to pray for our folks that God will bless them, heal them, and anoint them. But you know what? The Bible says if two or three are gathered together in my name, you'll be in our midst. How many knows that the Lord is in our midst tonight? Amen. Praise God. Good to see each and every one of you. Have your Bibles. Go with us to the book of Acts in the 28th chapter. God's speaking to me this evening especially. This thought has been on my mind this week, but tonight, and I hope and pray only with God's help and His anointing that I can be able to convey to you what I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart. And I pray that it'll be a blessing. Maybe if nobody else, maybe the Lord will bless me through His word tonight. I found that not only that I can't even walk without Him holding my hand, I can't even operate. I can't do anything without the Lord. But I've always found Him to be there. He's instant in season. He's a mighty God. In the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, and thank you for standing for the reading of God's word, beginning with verse number 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have been swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your abounding grace and love. Thank you, Lord, for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you would open up the window of heaven. Lord, pour out a spiritual anointing upon this group of people tonight. God, I humbly pray that you would use this vessel. God, speak, Lord, through these lips tonight. God, that you would have us to hear. Help us to be submissive and obedient, God, to your word. And we'll be careful, Lord, giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm going to help the preacher tonight." All right. Amen. I hope, in fact, that you do. And I hope, in fact, that I'm able to get this message out. Very familiar passage of Scripture and one that you probably heard time and time again. Yet that's where the Lord led me. And I learned a long, long time ago not try to lead the Lord, but, in fact, be led by the Lord. So I hope and pray that this will be a blessing to some that are here tonight. I'm going to title this message, "Shake It Off." Naturally, shake it off. Amen. How many knows that there's times we need to shake things off? I said, how many knows that there's times we need to shake things off? Amen. Know assuredly that when you start a fire, the beast is going to show up. The viper will inevitably come when you start a fire. When he's talking, I'm not talking about a natural fire. How many knows that when you try to start a work for God, knows that the adversary is going to show up, and he's going to try to hinder anything and everything that he can through whatever ways that he can. So many times he'll come, sow discord. So many times he'll try to put discouragement or disappointment in the high heart of those, amen, who are starting a work, or those who are venturing out, or those who may be a new convert. So we find here that this was, that Paul was bitten by this snake, or they call it a venomous beast, and he just calmly shakes the beast off into the fire. He knows that Satan can't stand the fire. The crowd looked at Paul. He should have been swollen and dead. They instantly judged him and said, "You must be a murderer." Isn't it amazing how that people can talk when seemingly failure is there, or maybe it's not as productive as it once was or could be, and suddenly they begin to say, "Well, what have you done wrong?" We even find people who sometimes if a person misses church two or three times, then instead of praying for them, sometimes they come to pass. "Well, what's wrong with so-and-so? What's the matter with them? Surely they've done something or something," you know. And I go and tell them, I said, "Don't talk about them. Just talk about them to the Lord and pray that God will, whatever the situation is, that he'll fix it." Amen. But they judged him and said, "You must be a murderer. You've escaped the sea. So now vengeance is going to take you out as you are bitten by this beast or this viper." But they changed their minds when he didn't die. No harm came to him. And then instantly they said he must be a god. How many knows that God has a reason for everything that happens in our life? I want to go back and start this story over if I possibly can. Sometimes we start at the beginning and go to the end, but I wanted to start at the end and go back to the beginning because I can identify with some of the troubles and trials that the Apostle Paul went through. First of all, we find back in some preceding chapters that Paul was apprehended and taken before the magistrates and eventually ended up before King Agrippa. I mean, he remembers reading that story. Not because he was a murderer, not because he was a thief or done anything against the law. He was just preaching the word of God. Isn't it a shame that somebody try to put you down for preaching the word of God or for trying to do a work for the Lord? And they instantly begin to cause controversy against the Jewish elect. So naturally, they brought Paul before King Agrippa. Now, Paul, rather than murmuring and complaining and playing poor pitiful me, he began to witness to King Agrippa. So much so that King Agrippa said, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." So King Agrippa said, "You know what? I can't find any harm in him. I can't find anything worthy of death or even putting him in bonds. So I don't know what to do with him." So finally he decides that he'll just put him along with the other group of prisoners, in fact, including Luke, and he'll just ship them off to Rome. Just kind of ship his troubles off and get his troubles off out of the way. So they begin to get ready, and they find a ship and a ship's master, and they put Paul and the other prisoners on the ship. Now, I'm saying all of this because this is the way so many times that God works. I don't know about you, but I can't always see how the hand of God is working in my life. He takes me through different avenues sometimes. He takes me through different ways and situations that I don't understand and can't comprehend. But Brother Jason, when everything is said and done, amen, and the dust begins to settle, then I can look back and I say, "Oh, that's what you intended, Lord. That's what you wanted to do. That's the reason I had to take all of these detours and all of these different diversions to get me to where you wanted me to be." And sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do because we have a mindset of our own. We think it ought to be done this way. We think we ought to do it our way, but that's not always God's way. So they get on the ship, and if I read the story correctly, they made about two or at least three different embarkments on different ports and changed ships a couple of times. And you know, all of this is kind of playing out. You know, you would think that maybe they would just kind of ship them just straight to Rome or to Italy and everything would be all right. But again, God is in control. Now, everything that happens in our life may not be peaceful and it may not be easy to swallow. But I will assure you, if you're true to God and if you put your faith and trust in him, God has a plan and God will make a way for you in that situation. So finally they get on, I think it's about the third ship, I don't know, they done changed and they done put them on this ship, and then Paul begins to tell them, said, "Wait a minute, I think you don't need to be going." He said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. How many have ever felt like you're preaching or teaching on deaf ears? I mean, it feels like you've witnessed and testified to folks and they pay you no attention. In verse number 11 of chapter 27, it says, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." There's a wonderful lesson there. Everybody's not going to agree and everybody's not going to receive what you're preaching or what you're testifying, even if it comes from the Lord. It's a shame. But people like to believe other situations. They like to use their own intellect, their own knowledge, and sometimes that does not set well with God. How many knows we need to let step back and let God have his way? So Paul says, you know what? I got a feeling here. We don't need to be doing this. And if a man of God tells you, listen, I just went fasting and praying and God's just kind of let me know, this is not the direction we need to be going because there's going to be much harm if we do this. But nevertheless, he believed the captain of the ship more so than the man of God. Just kind of goes to saying, how many times have we preachers preached, you know what, the Lord's coming soon, and people say, I've heard that all my life. Heard that all my life. You know what, that just means it's that much nearer. Amen. If it's the word of God, it is going to come to pass. Amen. But you can't go by popular opinion, and you certainly can't go by the majority of the world today. So Paul said, you know what, we don't need to be going. I just feel like it's going to be bad news and we might lose the ship and all that. But nevertheless, here they go. So they finally reach a place and the wind starts getting, the Bible says, tempestuous. And it gives some kind of long name, Euroclum something. Basically, that kind of means a typhoon type wind was blowing. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. We don't see the end of the story when God is working in our life. We don't see what he has in store for us. We only see the journey. Just like the children of Israel, all they saw was the journey. They didn't see Canaan land. They knew the promise was there. They knew God had spoke to Moses, but they had not visually seen it. So all they saw was the problems, the troubles, the trials, the enemies, the hot desert sand, the dried up water holes, and the lack of food, but they had their eyes on a vision that God was going to lead him to the promised land. So we find Paul and he's saying, you know what? This is what I was talking about. The storm is raging. And it began to get cold and wintry and raining. And finally the ship was about to go through a narrow strait and there was rocks around. And the ship was just about to hit some rocks. So all of the sailors and the people that was on the ship said, you know what? We're going to jump ship. Jump ship. Brother Jason, I know that you've never had this situation, but when things get stormy, sometimes people want to jump ship. They don't want to stay in the boat. Pastor, you handle it. I'm jumping ship. Things are a little rocky around here. When the crowd gets small and the money gets low and things start happening, you know, well, we're ready to jump ship. Then, no, you better stay in the boat. The Apostle Paul said, you know what? No. The Lord showed me with an angel came and spoke to me and said, don't lose a one of them. Don't let a one of them jump ship. Those of you that are going to stay in the boat, every life here is going to be spared. Again, the man of God. This time he was able to convince them to stay on the boat. Now, you would like to think that the boat got through the stormy waters and everything was clean, clear sailing all the way to Rome. No, that's not the case. It even got worse. The storm got worse. You know, those of you that have been living for the Lord a number of years and have withstood trials and tribulations and setbacks and problems and persecutions, you know, just when you think you got victory over one, then something else happens. But do not lose faith. Amen. Do not lose heart because the best is yet to come. So that's not the case. It wasn't clean sailing. In fact, for about 3 days, they endured hard weather. Finally, the front of the ship hits against the rocks, and the back ship, the hinder part, began to be torn apart. There's a song that says, "He pilots my ship." And even when the storms are raging and the ship is falling apart, still, they begin to say, you know what? Those of you that can swim, you need to swim now. Those of you that can't, you better grab a board. Or grab a piece of the ship. But every one of them, I think it was in more than 200 lives, every one of them was spared. And they were able to make it to the shoreline of this little place where the barbarians were there. And they begin to offer kindness to them and show them, take care of them and warm them up and build a fire. Now you say, Brother Eddie, why are you telling all of that story? Because I believe every situation had a purpose. I believe every port that they embarked at had a purpose. Sometimes when you're living for the Lord and working for the Lord, there may be a plateau. There may be a stopping place. There may just be a place of rest. Maybe you just need to restock a little bit spiritually, amen, because the journey gets long, the journey's hard, the journey's rough sometimes, and it's not always going to be clear sailing. Not always going to be blue skies. There's going to be some storms out there. But how many knows who calms the storms, amen, as long as we put our faith and trust in God. So they find themselves here on this little island called Melita. And Paul begins to immediately gather some sticks, it said, and to build a fire. And I thought about that. An opportunity. You know, Paul was the calming force in this whole story. Had it not been for Paul's persuasiveness, had it not been for Paul's walk with the Lord, if it hadn't been for Paul's ability to listen to the voice of God speaking to him, there's no telling how many lives would have been lost. So don't lose hope, preacher. Don't lose hope, Sunday school teacher. Don't lose hope, youth leader. Amen. You just keep working for the Lord. You keep sowing seed. You keep starting, and you may need to be refreshed, and the storms may get violent, and the storms may get rough, but you don't know how many lives that you're saving. You don't know how many lives are being touched by your ministry. You don't know how many people are receiving something that may never let you know about it. I don't think I read where any one of those lives came up and told Paul, thank you for saving our lives. And sometimes we get feeling like nobody cares and nobody understands. But when you get to heaven, somebody may walk up to you and say, you're the one that led me to Jesus, even though you don't know it down here. So keep persevering and keep going on. So here's Paul. The first thing he does is gather up some sticks. And he goes over to build a fire. I don't know if you've ever been out in the cold and the wind and the rain and all, but I tell you, a fire is very, very relaxing. Amen. We love to do that. That's one of the first things. They call me the fireman. Not George Strait, but they call me the fireman. Amen. Because when we go to the hunting place, amen, that's about the first thing I do. It don't matter what temperature it is. I'm going to build a fire. But when it's really, really cold, you build that fire and throw those logs on there and those hot coals. And, man, it's just very, very comforting. Not only that, it keeps the coyotes away, too, I think. They bark and holler. But it's very, very comforting. So Paul began to start a fire. In a barbarous land. Amen. How many knows that church ain't always the place to start a fire? It's the easiest place. It ought to be the easiest place. It ought to be the wonderful place that we wouldn't even have to start a fire. In fact, we ought to come in with a fire already glowing and already burning and moving for the power of God. We talked about it this morning. You know, if we can come in with that mindset, you won't have to worry about getting in one mind and one accord. You'll already be in one mind and one accord. And we'll come together worshiping and praising the Lord, regardless of the size or number, or regardless of who sings or who preaches. Amen. If it's the word of God, amen. The fire of the Lord can come down and consume the place. So Paul sees an opportunity to build a fire. And let me tell you something. As I said earlier, anytime you venture out to try to start something for the Lord, something, the enemy's going to come against you. He's going to try to impede. He's going to try to snuff it out. He's going to try to cause disappointment, discouragement, or hardships, or hurtfulness everywhere that he goes. But you know what? You got to keep building the fire. So Paul builds the fire. And as he's putting these sticks here, this, you know, it's interesting. In one place it's called a viper, in one place it's called a beast. Something bit him. Turn to your neighbor and say, something bit him. And I thought about that. You know, sometimes the least person in the world will bite you. You would never have thought that that person would have ever bit you. And I'm not talking about biting you on the, I'm talking about backbiting you or throwing you under the proverbial bus Someone that you would least expect, someone that you might even know. How many, and don't raise your hand, please, but how many has ever been the object of somebody who don't even know you said something about you? Come on, that happens. Because those bees can come up from any and everywhere. And don't go and tell everybody that the preacher called all of them a beast. But the devil works through people and he works through situations. And if he sees an opportunity to impede you, if he sees an opportunity to block the blessings, he'll certainly do it. But Paul just kind of shook him off. The Lord's been dealing with me about just shaking things off. A personal acquaintance that I have, and I'm not going to mention his name because you know him. But we love him. But he's one of those persons that talks a lot and don't say a whole lot. How many knows that preachers ain't the only ones that run off at the mouth? But he talks a lot, and one of the newer people, I'm going to give it away, he's in our hunting club. And one of the newer people, he's sort of getting frustrated at him and a little agitated, and he said something. All right, boss, then what do you want me to do? And I said, you know what? I pulled him over and I said, I learned a long time ago, as soon as it was about the second, third year that I got in the club. I said, the way you got to deal with this person here is you got to let it go in this ear and out that ear and just keep smiling. I said, because he'll forget what he's talking about in just a few minutes. He'd do it. You got to shake it off. You got to learn to shake it off. You're going to be in leadership, you got to shake it off. Amen. You're going to be a Sunday school teacher, sometimes you got to shake it off. If you're going to be a youth pastor, you're going to be whatever it is. Sometimes you got to learn to shake things off. Amen. Just like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul could have got his feelings hurt. He could have said, you know what, God, what have you done to me? You put me on a boat and this boat's tearing apart and all I've done is work for you and help you and minister for you and this is what I got. But Paul didn't do that because Paul knew that something down the road was going to happen. Amen. That God has a plan. We don't always see it. We don't always know it. We can't always realize it until the end of the plan. And then we say, oh, God, that's what you were talking about. So the Apostle Paul says, you know what, I'm just going to shake it off. I'm not going to lose heart. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Amen. That's what my granddaddy used to say. He said, you've got to keep on keeping on, son. Amen. And I used to think, what in the world does that mean? Until I started pastoring. You've got to keep on keeping on. No matter if it's little, big, indifferent, or whatever, you got to keep on because your eye is on the prize. So he shakes it off. Amen. And goes on about his business. He doesn't make a big thing to do about it either. He just shakes it off. And here's the thing, you know, when it first bit him, those people that were so kind to him begin to whisper, he's a murderer. They just begin to judge him. They didn't know Paul. I mean, it's the first time they'd ever laid eyes on him. And just simply because this venomous beast latched onto his hand and bit him, they said, you know what? He's a murderer. He's escaped the sea, but he hadn't escaped the vengeance of God. He's going to die here on this island and bitten by a snake because he deserved it. Because something, and they didn't even know him. Throwing him down, just stomping on him, saying all kind of things about him. And didn't even know his life, didn't know his personality, didn't know he was a man of God or anything. But then it says as they watched him, and they watched him, and they looked, and they expected him to swell up and die. You know what? That's bad to say, but there's folks that just watching you, thinking you're just going to fail, you're going to swell up, you're going to die, and you're not going to accomplish anything. You know, but that was not the case. But they changed their mind. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Because God changed their minds. They began to look at him and they saw something they'd never seen before. This man should be dead, but yet he's alive and well and not even affected by the bite of this viper. So we find that they spent a while there. And you know what? After all of this, Paul got to minister to some of those barbarians. The Bible tells us that one who was the head, I think his name was, if I could find it, Publius, lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. By the power of God. You might say, you know what? Would God go through all of that situation and all of the controversy and all the peril that Paul went to just so he could pray for that person? You don't know how God works. It may have very well been for one person. I tell you what, there's been people who prayed for me and probably didn't even know me. But they prayed. Amen. And thank God I am up here tonight because of the recipients of so many prayers that went up. So he prayed, and not only that, they've been to bring him other folks who were healed. God moves in mysterious ways. So by and by, everybody say by and by, the story continues. This time they get on a pretty good boat, and they go have some good sailing weather, and they finally reach Italy, or Rome, which was his destination anyway. So all of them, the way I read it, were still intact. Brother Jason, I don't find where any of them ever suffered death and they were able to reach their destination. Why? Because God's hand was on this whole. And if you don't get anything else out of this story, just look at how many times God's hand and his purpose was on every situation, every port, even the crashing of the ship, even the saving of the souls, even the healing of this Publius, even the healing of those other people. So here they are finally getting to Italy, and they get in Rome, and by now Paul has made such an impact on the centurion that the other prisoners are sent to be in prison or somewhere bound, but kind of Paul gets what I would refer to as house arrest. He's able to go and come as he pleases. He just has to report to the centurion. Not treated like somebody that would be a common criminal, but yet they saw something about this man. They realized that there was something special. Not the man himself, but the God of the man. Amen? So you're going to witness to people. They may not come up and tell you, but they're going to notice something about you if you serve God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body. So the Bible tells us that even after this, Paul was even able, I think it's over in verse number 27 and 28, and down, let's go to number verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Is this the same story that started out with shipwreck and peril? God has blessed him, and 2 years he's preaching. And just kind of throw this in. You remember when God struck Saul down and told him that he was going to use him to preach the word to the Gentiles, which do happen to live in Rome and in Italy. And during those 2 years, he was able to witness to Gentiles. He was able to spread the word of God and declare Jesus Christ as the Messiah. No, we don't understand the mind of God. I don't understand his workings, but if I can be submissive and obedient as the Apostle Paul was through hardship, through shipwreck, through fires and having to deal with biting venomous beasts, it'll be all worth it after all. Amen? Because God has a plan for each and every one of us. Do you believe the Lord tonight? Isn't God good? How the way that he works situations. Amen. Praise God. This is maybe a little unusual tonight, but this is what the Lord laid on my heart. Amen, to talk about tonight. And if it doesn't help anybody, certainly it reinforces in my life the reason that sometimes we go through peril, the reason sometimes we have setbacks. It seems like maybe for every 1 or 2 feet or steps that you gain, you lose 3 or 4. But you know what? Don't lose heart. Keep going. Keep working. Keep striving for God, because it's going to be worth it after all. And I believe by faith, I believe the finish line is a lot nearer than we thought. Amen. How many is looking forward to when we go to heaven, amen, forever and ever, and live eternally with our Lord and Savior? God bless you. Would you stand tonight? If you have a need, if you have a sickness or affliction or anything, we never, ever want to dismiss without giving you an opportunity to bring that burden, to bring that care, to bring that sickness to the Lord. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself, praying one for another. Amen. And if you have a need, we'd ask you to come forward tonight, and I will assure you there are Bible-believing, faith-believing saints of God that will pray with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there one tonight that needs prayer? Some of you elders, some of you ones, come around and let's pray for these needs tonight. I need some believers. Come on, believers.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.
lifted me. Give them praise. Amen. God bless you tonight. We love you so very much.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Such a wonderful word tonight. The Lord is so great. So, you know, that peace that only He can give us. We were prayer. It was just said for so many that are needing prayer right now. But it's in our faith. Place it in the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. Isn't God great? I mean, what else can you say? A day like today, the message has gone forth. Lord's blessings. And I like it. It really, for me, y'all know I'm a visual person. I love music and I love the visual aspects of God and His life and everything that He's created for us. But to see days like this, to where He opens up His Word, that it is almost, it's better than a storyboard. I know they're using a felt board as they work in Sunday school class. And, you know, for so many that need to see it visually. And that's the way God comes to me. And I just want to tell y'all how great our God is. Now, I know He's answered a lot of prayers today, and I know He's with those that aren't with us right now, that He's touching and healing. All righty. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, again, we want to thank you for visitors, for those of you watching online. Just look forward to so many things that God's got in store for us. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Don't forget our Wednesday night service also. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for allowing us to feast at your table. Lord God, we just love and praise you. We give you all the honor and glory, dear Lord. We thank you for answering the prayers that you've answered, dear Lord. We thank you for the encouragement, for your strengthening. Lord, now as we prepare this new week, dear Lord, we ask you to go before us. Lord, guide us, dear Lord. Keep us, dear Lord, as we go about our daily walk. Lord, may we be the vessels that your light can shine through. Dear Lord, open up the doors, dear Lord, that you would want us to testify and to minister to, dear Lord. And we just thank you for all that's here, dear Lord. We pray for so much, dear Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful start of the week. See y'all Wednesday.